Hello, Candid Connection podcast listeners. This is Ashley Hall, your Michigan grassroots manager for ACS CAN. And I'm so grateful to have the amazing Heather Hall, no relation, we're not sure, with me today. Heather is our ACT lead for the 9th Congressional District here in Michigan.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you, Ashley. Yes, no relation. Although
no relation. Maybe. We're both Scottish, right? I think. Mm-hmm. And now, Heather, you have been a co-host before, right?
I've actually been interviewed before.
Oh, so you've been interviewed.
Be back here. Yes.
Okay. Well, we liked what you did because we're bringing you back.
Thank you.
You know, June, not only is June a super, super hot summer month here in Michigan, it is also National Cancer Survivors Month. And that is a big reason why I asked and invited Heather to join us, because Heather is a 3-time cancer survivor. Yeah.
Yes.
So Heather, why don't you just tell us a little bit about, you know, what Cancer Survivor Month means to you as a survivor and as someone who is just so involved in cancer advocacy?
Absolutely. Yes. Like you said, this is it's a big month. I mean, it's a really special month. This year is really special to me. My word of the year is celebrate for me, because 25 years ago, I was diagnosed with my first cancer. So, and I use celebrate because, of course, I don't celebrate that I had cancer, but I celebrate that I'm still here. I'm still thriving. I was 21 when I had my first cancer, which was bone cancer. Like you said, diagnosed 25 years ago. And then I also am a melanoma and breast cancer survivor. And interestingly enough, I finished treatment in June for all of those cancers. So it's kind of a big deal for me.
This is a really big month.
Yes. So I take a moment to always pause and reflect on what it is to be a survivor, and just that feeling of, you know, that gratitude of being alive and recognizing how much, I mean, I worked hard to get where I am and to be here. And it really, you know, being diagnosed at 21, I really took it that my mission was that when I survived cancer, I would be committed to ensuring that we had the research funding, that we had new treatment options, that people had access to care that I had. And that really spearheaded and really spurred me to become a cancer advocate and get involved with CAN. So I've been involved with CAN for a really, really long time.
Yes, and we have. And we are, I just have to say, we are so lucky to have you, Heather. You know, you're just one of my favorite volunteers, not only your personal story, but also everything that you bring as an advocate to ACS CAN. We're just so lucky to have you.
Thank you. And, you know, being an advocate is, I will tell you, like, I'm really involved. And so I think sometimes that might intimidate other people, because they're like, wow, you're like everywhere. And I choose to do that because it's something that I'm really passionate about. My dad passed away from cancer, and my younger sister is also a cancer survivor. So for me, it's a really, really personal thing. But I've seen that it's thanks to so many other people getting involved that I'm alive, that, you know, my family got 6 years with my dad, and just, you know, thanks to everybody. So I want to be part of that so that I can help somebody else, or help someone, you know, prevent them from hearing the words, you have cancer. And it's really easy. You can email, you can take action alerts from ACS CAN, do phone calls. So it's, you can be as involved as you want or not one, and you know that you're making a difference. It takes one action. I'm a firm believer of that. One action to make a major difference in the world.
Exactly. And I love that, how you said that you can be as involved as you want, or you can, you know, just sending one action alert or just making one phone call to your lawmakers really does make an impact. And one place where you can find out more information to do that is www.fightcancer.org/MI. That is our website, and that could get you connected to, you know, me. It can get you connected to how to do those action alerts, how to make those phone calls, and also how to get connected to your ACT lead, which Heather is an ACT lead in Congressional District 9.
Yes.
You know, so what would you say is one of your, you know, favorite parts about being, you know, an advocate here in Michigan for ACS CAN?
Well, I think first is meeting so many other passionate cancer advocates. I mean, there are some amazing people, you know, our ACT lead team around the state, but just other ambassadors and volunteers who want to get involved. I love being surrounded by people who want to make a difference in the world. That energizes me. It excites me. It fills me with so much gratitude. And so that's one of my favorite things. It's also seeing the action that we take and the difference that we do make. And sometimes it's frustrating, right? You're going to be talking about oral chemo, which we've been talking about for a long time. But other times, you know, you get those wins or you get that step forward and you know that you've made a difference, because we all have heard those stories of people who don't have the access to care. But we also have heard the good stories where this person had access to a mammogram. This person had access to oral chemo. You know, this person had this and this, and it saved their life. So those are the stories that really inspire and motivate me every day. And I'll be honest with you, on a personal level, every day that I wake up, I'm grateful for advocacy because I'm alive.
Yeah. And I mean, it's simple, right? You know, yeah. Take that one step, show that gratitude, you know, and getting involved here in Michigan is so easy. And we do have a really great group of people. I'm a little biased, but we have a really great group of people, just like Heather. Awesome. Well, again, seriously, Heather, we're so grateful for you and your advocacy and just your generosity and everything. So I am going to jump in to some of those fun federal updates that we have going on here in Washington, D.C. You know, like Heather mentioned, you know, advocating for those research dollars, and that is a huge part of our federal advocacy. You know, the fiscal year 2023 appropriation season is underway in Congress. And, you know, ACS was actually lucky enough to have our new CEO, Dr. Karen Knudsen, lovingly known as Dr. K. She actually testified at the House Appropriations Committee on all of our research funding asks. It was a great event. You know, it was very well received. And for those of you who haven't gotten to be on a call with Dr. K or interact with Dr. K, she is just an incredibly vibrant leader, and we're so lucky to have her at ACS and ACS CAN. Heather, have you been on any calls with Dr. K, or have you experienced her at all?
I have. I just love her energy and her passion. I mean, it's so exciting when you have somebody like that in your, you know, on your team. That yes. I'm just like, yeah,
every cool.
I'm like, you it's, go, girl.
Yes, and that's. I feel like I have chills. I'm like, you go, girl. Just like she is just like a female powerhouse, and she is really, you know, making waves for ACS and ACS CAN in Washington, D.C. You know, she was lucky enough to be at the White House when President Biden announced his Cancer Moonshot Initiative, you know, that will change cancer as we know it, right? And we love that phrase here at ACS, ACS CAN, and we're so lucky to have Dr. K. You know, one of the other pieces of federal priorities that we're working on right now is our access to care work. And we're really doing that through the reconciliation process, which is just a really fun, big word to talk about the budget. So we have three major priorities in that access to care bucket. And the first is to close the Medicaid coverage gap. You know, and this is something that we've been working on for a while. But what this would do is just, again, create more people to be able to access quality health insurance and afford quality health insurance. Number two, we're trying to make permanent the expansion of those ACA subsidies that are set to expire at the end of 2022. The ACA was actually expanded during COVID so that more people could get access to healthcare during our pandemic. And, you know, this expansion has been so successful. It's something that ACS CAN has been advocating for since 2021. We just want to make that expansion permanent. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, we're also trying to, you know, make that out-of-pocket cap enacted for Medicare Part D. So this is kind of a wonky piece of legislation, but really what it adds to is more people getting access to quality, affordable healthcare. And there are also three pieces of federal legislation that we're also advocating for. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are probably familiar with these three because we've been talking about them for a while. But the first one is PCHETA, which is the Palliative Care and Hospice Education and Training Act. This is something that CAN has been advocating for a while. Probably before I came to CAN. Heather, were you guys working on PCHETA before I came? Yeah.
I think in like 18 and 19 when I was in DC, we were talking about that there. And it's such an important bill. Like on a side note, I work in healthcare too. And I mean, we're talking about palliative care a lot from a, even from a physician perspective. I mean, they feel it's very important because it's just another way to complement the care and ensure the patient is getting the most patient-centered care, which is really like the best type of care you can provide.
Absolutely. Patient-centered. And you know, this is something we've been working on for a while. It does have bipartisan support. It's something we're continuing to push in DC. Number two is a mouthful, but I'm going to say it out slowly. It is the Medicare Multi-Cancer Early Detection and Screening Coverage Act, also known as MCED. You know, this is another piece of legislation that we picked up last year for our federal lobby day, and it has a lot of bipartisan support. I think we're actually at 40 senators who have signed on to support this. So we're really hoping to see action on this piece of legislation this year. And last but not least is the Diverse Trials Act. And now this actually came out of an ACS-CAN volunteer survey on something that we, our volunteers, wanted to see. So when it comes to clinical trials, you know, the organization, the company that, you know, creates the drug is able to pay for all of the medical costs associated with a clinical trial. What they're not able to pay for are those ancillary costs like travel and housing and food. And that coverage gap is actually a big reason why a lot of folks can't participate in clinical trials, because maybe I live in Michigan, but you know, the clinical trial is in Texas, and getting to Texas costs money, and staying in Texas throughout the clinical trial costs money. And that would, you know, that's something that prevents people from potentially getting life-saving care. So this Diverse Trials Act, it's somewhat new, but it's something where, you know, our DC folks are working really hard on, and it's something that also has a lot of bipartisan support right now. And we're really wanting to see some action on that as well.
That's an important bill because, I mean, clinical trials is what, you know, creates the new treatment options, the new care, the new, I mean, so many of that. And those are, it's a really, really important bill to get passed. And on a side note, can I just remind people who are listening, if you get a survey from ACS or ACS can take that survey, right? Because this is a great, Ashley just made a really good point that those surveys really, really matter to how ACS can.
It does. And it can create some, you know, really cool pieces of legislation like this, which will make a really big impact. Okay. Now it's time for our state updates. You know, there's a lot going on, Heather. There's a lot going on federally. There's a lot going on in the state of Michigan. But really the most important thing that we're focused on right now in Michigan is tobacco, tobacco, tobacco. So it is budget season in Michigan. So next week, we're actually going to kind of get to see what the Michigan lawmakers have appropriated to every area of the state, but also the Department of Health and Human Services, which is where we're mostly, you know, which is where we spend a lot of our time. So we're really looking to see how much is appropriated for the tobacco cessation programs. So we had our Cancer Action Day at the end of April, and we asked for $10 million for tobacco cessation and control programs. And we asked for $2.8 million for breast and cervical programs. So at the, you know, next week, we're going to get to see what that looks like. But, you know, we've had a grassroots campaign during the month of June, you know, asking our volunteers to call their lawmakers, call their state senator, call their state representative, and ask them to support that $10 million for tobacco cessation. And it's been pretty productive. You know, we've had over 60 people register saying they call their lawmaker and they talk to their lawmaker about this, which is really, I mean, it's important, right? Those, just that phone call, your lawmaker needs to hear from you and know what you're thinking.
It's really easy to do too, not to interrupt you, but just let people know that Ashley, when she emails you, you send out a script so we can just read. Even I was like, yeah. Well, I'm the script, because I'm not going to reinvent the wheel when the script is right in front of me. So it's really, really easy. And it's also important to record that action, right? So that you know, like it shows that there's the impact's being made.
You know, I didn't even tell her to say that, guys. Heather,
I was like, oh, This was not a planned conversation. It
wasn't, but it really is. You know, like you can go to our website again, which is fightcancer.org/Michigan. And right on that website, you're going to see links to take that action. You know, you're going to see links to make that phone call. And there are scripts right there. And you can just click on the link and say, I did it. You know, and that is, recording those actions is really important for us because we want to see how many people mm-hmm. have made that phone call and what their lawmaker said if they were able to talk to them. And, you know, last but not least, we have talked about Senate Bill 720 on this podcast before, but unfortunately, the Senate passed Senate Bill 720 last week. And just to give you a quick reminder, what this bill does is it actually reduces the taxes on what is known as reduced harm tobacco products. And if you're listening and not, and you can't see me right now, I'm doing air quotes around reduced harm, because as we all know, there's no such thing as reduced harm when it comes to tobacco products, right? Mm-hmm. E-cigs and vapes are still harmful and they're still addictive, especially for the youth population. So this bill reduces the taxes on those reduced harm, end quotes, products. And it also further clarifies the tobacco home delivery system in Michigan. So people are actually able to get tobacco delivered to their doors, which is something that, you know, ACS Canada has been against for a while. And this bill just further clarifies that regulation, which is pretty unfortunate. Because, you know, we don't want tobacco being delivered to your door.
Right.
Yeah. Seems simple. But right now, so the Senate did pass that, but right now we have an action alert on our website. And I feel like you all know the website by now, but it is fightcancer.org/MI. And we have an action alert up there for you to fill out. And it is asking Governor Whitmer to veto Senate Bill 720. So the governor does have the opportunity to veto this bill. And, you know, it's very easy. Like Heather said, it's all written out for you. All you got to do is just fill it out. And that website, again, is scrolling at the bottom of the screen, but that is fightcancer.org/MI. And we want as many folks as possible to fill it out. So she knows the kind of grassroots support that we have here for these, for anti-tobacco bills.
That we it almost, I mean, I hate to say it, but it almost feels like we're going backwards on, you know, this, as you know, we've done all this great progress towards trying to lower tobacco use and help people quit and all of that. And so, because we know that, you know, it helps save lives by doing this, and heaven forbid, we do not want our younger generation to start getting addicted to tobacco, whether it's e-cigs, vaping, anything.
Yeah. And these bills, unfortunately, like Heather said, it's taking us backwards and make it easier for youth to get their hands on tobacco and get addicted to tobacco, which we want to prevent at all costs.
Right.
Well, that's what's going on statewide and federally with tobacco. I know that a lot of our volunteers are very, you know, very invested in where we stand with the oral chemo legislation here in Michigan. Right, Heather, you know, this is something you guys have been working on for a while.
Yeah, really long time. Yeah, it feels like it's been ongoing.
It's been ongoing. So, you know, this was one of our main priorities for our Cancer Action Day back in April. And it's something that we are continuing to work on, right? The bill is still sitting in the Senate Health Policy Committee, which is chaired by Senator VanderWaal. And we are in pretty constant, pretty steady communication with him, you know, trying to get this bill out of the Senate and finally get it passed, because it was passed by the House last year. So those are our updates for this month in June.
It's a busy month, girl. Like, come
on. There is a lot going on. And as a lot of you know, since Andrew stepped away to, you know, pursue a new opportunity back in March, I've kind of been on my own here at ACS CAN Michigan, but we are going, you know, we have hired a new government relations director, and she will be joining us for the July podcast, which we're super, super excited about. We'll introduce you to her in July, but, you know, we're very excited to have her, and I'm very excited to have some help.
But you've been doing a fantastic job, Ashley.
Thank you, Heather.
it'll be fun though to have another person on our team to help get all of this stuff passed and get it moving.
Yeah. And you know, I know her background and I know that she is like a budget expert. So that is, you know, that kind of experience is what we really need here. And we're very, very lucky to have her.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, after this ad, we're going to be interviewing the vice president of Karmanos Cancer Institute, Lauren Lawrence, to talk about the expansions that are happening at Karmanos. Of course, Karmanos, our wonderful sponsor. Thank you so much. All right, Heather, are you ready for this conversation?
I can't wait. I'm excited to hear all the great things they're doing.
Me too.
If you're a patient with, you know, a relatively rare type of cancer, you may see a medical oncologist who treats that and has a great deal of experience in that specific type of cancer.
We do need experts in every different field to be able to deliver that integrated approach.
At the Barbara Ann Karmanos Cancer Institute, all the staffs are focused on one thing and one thing only, and that is to deliver the best care for you, the patient.
Today, we're going to be talking with Lauren Lawrence, who is the vice president of Karmanos Cancer Institute. You know, Lauren has been a part of the incredible team at Karmanos for a long time. I believe over 8 years. And we're just so excited to have her today. Welcome, Lauren.
Well, thank you, Ashley. I am so honored to be here with you and Heather this afternoon.
Yes. Well, we are big fans of Karmanos, and we have such a strong partnership here in Michigan. And, you know, as the vice president of Karmanos Cancer Institute, you know, why do you believe it's important to, you know, maintain relationships with nonprofit organizations like ACS?
Well, I think it's very, very important for us to maintain our relationships with nonprofits, especially with the American Cancer Society. If you look at our vision, it's the same as your mission, and that is to have a world free of cancer. And so if we band our resources together, our energies, our synergies, our intellectual base together, and we become stronger together. And how do we do this? Well, we do this by banding together and providing expert information to all of our public, right? We look at and educate our public on lifestyle, the importance of lifestyle in preventing cancer, whether it's diet, exercise, getting your annual screenings, making sure that you quit smoking if you're a smoker, or, you know, reduce that alcohol consumption overall. All that information, if we band together and get the word out to our public, will help us achieve our overall vision and mission together. In addition to that, I think it's important that we talk about banding together for screening. And we did this. A perfect example of this was during the height of the pandemic, Karmanos participated on the Michigan Prevention Task Force that was sponsored by the American Cancer Society in Michigan. And we all put our heads together and figured out how we can message to our public in Michigan and beyond the importance of coming in during COVID-19 pandemic to get your annual cancer screenings, right? And I think it was very effective. We hit all the media outlets together. We expanded our reach to folks. And as we track our screening volumes now, post-major pandemic phase, we're still, you know, in the pandemic. Now it's an endemic. But when you look at it, our screenings have returned to pre-pandemic days. So we have, in my opinion, together with that synergy, achieved our goal of getting patients back in. Now, we're still faced with the fact that many folks did delay their screenings and their cancers were undetected. And now we're starting to see patients show up at our cancer programs, unfortunately, in later stages of cancer, which, you know what that means? That means there are less options available for treatment. However, since we are an NCI designated comprehensive cancer center, we offer many options for clinical trials and phase one clinical trials. In fact, Karmanos, out of every 2 to 3 FDA approved medications now for cancer treatment, we were involved in their development. So that is very paramount that we work together to get our patients in and treated now that they are showing up with advanced cancers. The other example I wanted to bring to bear with you is the importance of us working together is in fundraising. So Caremanus participates with the American Cancer Society in our relay events across the state of Michigan. And of course, we cover 46 counties in the state with our programs. And so we have a big reach. And so we co-fund, we raise funds together at the relay event, as well as our Strides for Cancer, for breast cancer in the fall, and the Real Men Wear Pink event, which our gentlemen in our cancer programs get a big kick out of participating in and have raised some serious dollars for that event. So my point with this is these funds actually come back to Caremanus in the form of grants for research that we conduct in Detroit at our headquarters and in the network. In addition to that, we've received grants from the American Cancer Society over the last 2 years to help defray costs for transportation for our patients and to provide lodging for patients that need to travel to our specialty sites such as Flint for proton therapy, or to come to Detroit to our headquarters to have a second opinion, a subspecialty surgery, to be evaluated for a phase one clinical trial, to look at CAR T cell therapy now, the latest advances in cancer treatment, to see if they're available to them as well. So again, this was because we banded together and we worked together in a big synergy. And I guess I would be remiss if I didn't say that we also have a greater influence when we work with lawmakers, right? If Caremanus supports ACS and ACS supports Caremanus, when we go to Lansing, to the legislature, we propose we need more funding for tobacco prevention for our youth, right? We need funding for tobacco cessation training and education for our adults who are smokers. So all of these, again, are things that we benefit from working together, right? We're stronger together.
Lauren, I feel like you just gave, you know, just the most perfect overview of all of the ways that we work together. And you're right, our missions are so linked and we're stronger together when we work together. Mm-hmm. I love that you hit on fundraising. I love that you hit on, you know, the advocacy piece, because here at, you know, ACS CAN, that's really what we focus on. And, you know, I know that Caremanus is expanding its reach in Michigan, which is another one of our shared missions, you know, creating the greater access to care for cancer patients. You know, can you tell us a little bit more about the work that's being done, you know, at the brand new Lansing Cancer Center and some of the other places that are opening up in the Michigan and Ohio area?
I am so happy to share with you all of our expansion efforts. And I'm very, very personally proud of our expansion in Lansing as I was on the planning group for 4 years. It was 4 years in the making when we started from the very beginning designing it. And I have to say, it is an absolutely gorgeous state-of-the-art cancer center. It is 46,000 square feet. We have infusion bays, 38 of them, with all natural lighting and creature comforts for our patients. We have 23 exam rooms, and we have multidisciplinary rooms where we can bring all our specialists together in one room to meet with the patient at one time in evaluating their cancer treatment plan. In addition to that, you walk in the lobby, it is three stories, and it is all glass enclosed, and you have all natural lighting coming into this beautiful lobby. We bring in the outside. We have green space walls in the lobby. So you have the natural lighting with the green space walls in this very high-tech building, but you get a sense of serenity when you walk in the building because of the way we designed it with that natural lighting in the green space walls. In addition to that, the artwork adorns the walls, and it's all outside nature. Shots, photos from all over the state of Michigan, especially the central Michigan area where Lansing obviously exists. In addition to that, we have big conference space, community space, so we can do our support groups, our healing arts, and we also opened a women's boutique. This is the first in our cancer service line, and this is for mastectomy patients and other cancer patients that they're able to purchase things that they need for their care and inspirational items as well. We also have a very high-tech linear accelerator, a true beam with HyperArc and stereotactic radiosurgery, which again is state-of-the-art technology for radiation therapy. Above the cancer center, which is two floors, is a women's imaging center. So our ladies have access to those services right above the cancer center. So we're very happy and very proud, and this was opened at the end of February. Our next area of expansion is really beyond the walls of Michigan into Northwest Ohio in the Toledo area. There's been a big need in that community for a long time for specialized care. And honestly, patients had to travel to Columbus, to Ohio State, or to the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, which is quite a trip for many folks, especially when you're diagnosed with cancer. So we opened up a joint cancer center in Maumee, Ohio, with the Toledo Clinic, which is a independent group of multidisciplinary physicians in the Toledo area. And we owned the radiation oncology services there, and they own the medical oncology services. So we again have high tech true beam. We have 11,000 square feet in the whole cancer center. Same theme. There are glass windows from ceiling to the floor. So there's all this natural lighting coming into the building. The infusion centers are designed such that one looks like a library. Another infusion pod has a fireplace in it, so folks feel like they're in the winters we have in this part of the country. They will feel the warmth of the fireplace. And they also added laboratory, pharmacy, and imaging services right in the cancer building. So, you know, that brings all these services that an ill cancer patient needs right there in one building. So in the curbside, you can pull right up to the cancer center. So it's just a lovely, lovely footprint. And we had the grand opening on April 11th. And I can tell you the community outpouring, we had such a great showing of community representatives expressing their gratitude for bringing our specialized services into Northwest Ohio. Now we're expanding beyond that, and we're working with the Cancer Care Alliance of Northwest Ohio, which is a group of five hospitals and the Toledo Clinic, and expanding our network further into Northwest Ohio. So more to come on that in the future, but that is in the works as we speak. And so then I have to mention another expansion we have, which is an extension of our headquarters in Detroit, is called our Weisberg facility, and that is in Farmington Hills. This expansion and renovation of this campus has been taking place since 2019. It was a four-phased approach, with first upgrading the physical plan of the building, and then we added a new Gamma Knife Center. And Gamma Knife is a highly specialized treatment for malignant and benign brain tumors. In addition to that, we have added procedure rooms there, a retail pharmacy, additional imaging bays, and we've expanded our infusion and our exam rooms there, as well as renovated our lobby, added a lab and blood banking. And we're also putting in conference space, public space for the healing arts. So again, we're welcoming our patients and our survivors to come in and participate in the support and healing groups that we offer. So I would be remiss if I didn't mention two more sites that we're expanding on. So Flint, we are adding to the top on the second floor of our medical oncology space, and it's going to be focused on our women's center. And so we will be having GYN and breast surgery services added on. They're currently available, but they're not in our cancer center. So we're bringing everybody again into one building, and we're refurbishing the front entrance, and we're adding space to our proton therapy center in Flint as well, as it's been growing by leaps and bounds. And then I'm going to give you a sneak preview. We are doing a feasibility study right now with the foundation in Northern Michigan at our Petoskey Cancer Program, because we need to expand that facility as well. So as you can see, we have a lot going on, and we're forging forward with expanding access to all of our great care.
That's amazing. I have to say, as a cancer survivor, I'm listening to this, and I'm like so full of gratitude and optimism and hope for people facing cancer. I love that there's so much available and there's going to be so much expanded. And I've always been impressed by Carmanos' dedication to helping those of us touched by cancer. So thank you to you and your team and everybody else who's making this happen. I was going to ask you how this, all of this expansion might benefit people facing cancer, but I think it's kind of obvious that it's the access to care. It's looking at the mental and emotional side of it too, which is amazing.
You know, you're so right, Heather. We have a community outreach and engagement department at Carmanos in Detroit, and they really focus on reaching the more rural parts of our footprint and the more underserved communities. And so we're constantly looking at ways to reach that population and make sure that they have access to all of our great care at all of our centers. And part of the expansion effort is to provide that care right in everybody's backyard, so to speak, right? So it's a lot easier to come in for your treatments.
I love that. Love hearing that. It's really, really exciting. So, June is National Cancer Survivors Month. And again, as a cancer survivor, I always am excited to hear about new services and opportunities to support survivors, not just in treatment, but obviously beyond our treatment. Can you share a few of the most important services that Carmanos offers to survivors?
Yes. Well, we continue to follow our survivors and make sure that they come in for their 3, 6, 9, 12-month checkup, whatever their disease dictates. So they are always followed by our providers and they get their appropriate diagnostic testing, whether it be lab work or imaging services. And then above and beyond that, we offer cancer support groups at all of our cancer centers. So they can feel free to come in. Anyone touched by cancer can participate in our support groups. We also are offering more and more healing arts programs. So for example, in Flint, we have a music and an art therapy program. So our survivors are welcome to come in and participate. There's a lot of healing that goes on with helping people who are going through the initial part of their journey when their survivors come in and share their experiences with newly diagnosed patients. So there's a lot to be gained from those relationships. In addition to that, we're now offering massage therapy in our new cancer center in our new space in Lansing. So the healing arts, the support groups, also reminding those reminders to our patients that they can need to continue to get their screens, right? And to continue to follow their medication and be adherent to their medication regimen. So all those things are followed by our cancer center and supported by our cancer centers for our patients and our survivors. And, we have, as 16.9 million survivors in the U.S. today. And that is because of all of the advancements in cancer treatments we have made, especially in the last 10 years with the advancements in the molecular space and, immunotherapy and all of our targeted therapies that we offer patients now. So patients are living a lot longer, higher quality of life. In fact, there are patients, about 20% of the patients are surviving over 20 years now. It's amazing, just absolutely amazing what we've achieved. And again, it's because of all of our efforts.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm celebrating 25 years from my first cancer diagnosis. So these advancements, I am a testament of, and I appreciate all of the teamwork and the partners and all of that, because I preach to Ashley and everybody that I'm alive thanks to all of this hard work from everybody that's doing it. But I love hearing about all of this because I really like the idea of the patient center, that Carmanos is really focusing on not just the medical, but also, like you said, the healing arts and all of that. And I think it's such a critical part of comprehensive cancer care. So this has been awesome. Where can our followers get more information about Carmanos?
So can I add one more thing to the survivorship question? I think it's important to know before we close that we celebrate our survivors at our cancer programs. And so prior to the pandemic, we would have at all of our cancer programs, usually during the month of June, we would invite all our survivors and their caregivers to our cancer programs, and our staff would actually serve dinner to them, and we would give away special gifts, and then we would have special speakers. So we would have survivors share their stories and their journey, and leadership would get up and make speeches about how important it is to have that support system around you. And we celebrate everybody's survivorship, as well as all the caregivers who support all of our survivors, right? So with the pandemic, we've had to really become creative, and we weren't able to bring everybody together in such close quarters because we would have anywhere from 300 to 400 to 500 people show up at our survivorship events. And so this year, as an example, in Port Huron, they had a drive-up survivorship event, and we gave out hanging baskets of flowers to our survivors and a kneel pad so that they can actually work joyfully in their garden and enjoy their survivorship. So I just wanted to note that we do celebrate as survivors and their caregivers and their journeys.
That's fantastic.
So to get a hold of us, it's simple. If you want to call, it's 1-800-CARMANOS, K-A-R-M-A-N-O-S, or you can reach us online at www.carmanos.org.
Awesome. Well, it has just been so great to have you with us today, Lauren. You know, everything you talked about, you know, it's such a strong partnership between our two organizations, and we can accomplish so much together. So thank you for your continued support. Obviously, thank you for sponsoring this podcast itself.
Of course, we are so happy to be sponsors for this podcast. It's important that we reach the different generations. And I think the podcast really, I've learned, because I have a 26 and a 28-year-old, that's how you reach the younger generations and getting the message out of how important it is for them to get involved and be volunteers and work with the American Cancer Society. So I think it's very worthwhile that we do these podcasts, and I thank everybody for listening.
Of course. I'm 30, but I pretty much only listen to podcasts. I don't listen to news or watch news. So you're right. This is how you reach us.
It's so true.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Lauren. I hope you enjoy this hot Michigan weather.
I will. And you too, ladies. Thank you, Ashley and Heather. It's been an honor being here. You take care. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks.